Well, hello and welcome back to Vox Pop, the daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Boston Marathon bombing suspect Zhokhar Tsarnaev was charged by federal officials yesterday with using a weapon of mass destruction, and more charges lay ahead as Massachusetts prosecutors expect to charge him separately in the killing of MIT police officer Sean Collier, who was shot in his cruiser Thursday night on the school's campus in Cambridge. Federal prosecutors could also even add more charges when he's indicted in the bombings. The 19-year-old could face the death penalty if convicted, which has renewed the debate on the controversial punishment. Separately, New York State Senator Greg Ball, who some say is planning another run for Congress after dropping similar ambitions in 2010 to run for state senate, has come under fire for a series of tweets and statements that he stands with those who would use torture against the accused and other suspects of terrorist acts to obtain information related to enemies of the state. Today, we want your take on the charges and whether or not he is found guilty, he should pay for his crimes with his life. We also want your take on the death penalty in general for cases of terrorism and otherwise, and also how you feel about using torture to extract information from terror suspects. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, but not right this minute because all five phones are blinking off the hook. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. But most of all, and I think most of us know how to do this the best, you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. That's certainly the way I would do it. But in any case, here's what, folks, I'll just tell you. I got out of bed at 2 o'clock this morning, been going at it all day long, one thing after another, and I want your help in this. I want your understanding about how I conduct this show. As you know, a lot of people are going to want to be here and going to want to make comments today. So say your piece. But once it comes around for a second time, that's it. I want to move everybody along so that we can hear from everybody. I think I value your comments, but run-on sentences, not good. Okay, so we'll go to Joanne in Waterville. Okay, Joanne, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to remind everyone that we have developed a fundamental understanding of the difference between the developing adolescent mind and the adult mind. And what we're talking about here is a 19-year-old child facing capital punishment, and this child was brainwashed by his older brother. And I think that we really need to understand that there are mitigating circumstances here, that putting this child to death is not going to bring back the people who've already been killed, and this horrible tragedy has claimed enough lives.
Okay, Joanne, I'm in great support of what you say. As you know, I'm opposed to the death penalty, at least philosophically.
Philosophically, I'm not opposed to it, but in the real world, it's very problematic.
Okay, so, but I don't want to fight with you, at least not right now. I do want to ask you something, though. How do you know who was brainwashed by who?
Well, by all the things that I've read, and I was following this really closely all week, and as you probably are aware, the Boston Globe made its newspaper available.
Mm-hmm.
It seems that Tamerlan, the older brother, became extremely interested in radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said that the younger brother, Zhokhar, was very influenced by his older brother, and that's probably one of the reasons that he went into wrestling, even.
Mm-hmm.
So the only conclusion I can draw based on all the information that I had available to me is that the older brother brainwashed the younger brother.
Is there any, Joanne, is there any extent to which you would not subscribe in terms of what you've just said? So for example, if this guy had lined up 50 people and machine gunned them, even though he was 19, and you were talking about the 19-year-old mind and how formidable it is, and, you know, would you say there's ever an extent at which, you know...
Alan, that's not what happened.
No. I'm just asking you, just for the sake of the argument.
Well, I'm not interested in...
I'm not interested in you, then. I asked you a question. I'd love you to answer the question.
Well, I don't know, because that's not what happened.
I see. Okay, thanks for your very good comments. I appreciate them.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah.
Right. Let's go to Lisa in Montgomery. Okay, Lisa, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I support somewhat what Joanne is saying in the sense that, you know, here's this 19-year-old that decided, instead of having a quality life in this country, decided to bring terror. For whatever reason he did it, I don't know, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to pretend I know, but I am not for the death penalty. I think it does nothing to move humanity forward. I understand why we have it, you know, to support a civil society and say, this is not allowed. You expect you go to a marathon and you expect it to be a happy, joyous outing for the day, not where your 8-year-old child will be murdered. So here's the thing, and I don't know if I'm taking the conversation away from this topic. That's not what I want to do. But equally disturbing to me was the explosion by the fertilizer plant in Texas.
Yep.
And, you know, for some reason, I don't know, you know, this is the main story that's getting less coverage.
Yep.
Or nothing is talked about why this corporation or the politicians or their lawmakers, you know, allowed that kind of plant to be living, to be existing by human, you know, where a town is. So, you know, in one way, you know, we want to, we're going to condemn this 19-year-old, which, you know, what he did was horrific, and I'm not going to minimize it in any way.
Sure.
But this plant and the way that zoning was allowed to happen is something
Lisa, you make a good point, I tell you right now, and there was a point there in which this terrible accident was beginning to get played in the same way that the terror incident was, and then you could see it just being diminished. I don't know whether these guys who are running CNN or otherwise take a rating or a polling or what they do to find out what people want, but they sure wanted the terror as opposed to the other plant. But your point is extremely well taken. I'll tell you why. Because they were told, they were fined in the past for doing things the wrong way. So your point is well taken, and I appreciate your making it. Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Alan. Bye. Right.
Let's go to Bob in Pittsfield. Bob, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I'm a first-time caller.
Great. That's wonderful.
I knew it would happen someday. I think you're doing a good job of running the show so far.
Thank you.
So I had a couple of points I wanted to make. One, I think that a lot of people are confusing justice with revenge and wanting to pursue, we don't do revenge in this country, at least not in any institutional kind of way. So I think people are getting very emotional, and that's the way I would frame that. The other thought I had to do with rehabilitation, which I think somebody this morning, I think, said we don't do that very well. Which is true, but we still as a society, I think, aspire to that. And, if somebody's... Oh, I know. You can't begin to compensate for the heinous things that were done. And, I don't expect to see this kid walking around the street in the next 5 years. But I do think that... There is some issue of development, and Alan, you were thinking of what if scenarios.
Sure.
And you said, what if he killed 150 people or something like that? And I would submit to you, what if he did what he did, but he was 12 years old?
Sure.
You know, most people probably wouldn't go for this.
Sure.
Death penalty for a 12-year-old. So where did things change?
Yeah, exactly.
Between 12 and 19.
Yep. You raise
with the developing brain. And one more
sure.
thought
sure.
is that If he's so easily influenced by his brother, he might be a very good candidate for rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bob. I appreciate appreciate your call, and thanks for your good words. Appreciate it. Okay, so we'll take a short break. We'll be right back, and Stuart and Carrie and Bruce and Tara, hang in there.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Artist Shops, Rhinebeck in New Paltz, providing professional picture framing, fine art materials, and now the Atwater Art Gallery in Rhinebeck, atwatergallery.com. Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering workshops for adults and teens taught by master craftspeople on a 50-acre farm. Snowfarm.org. Reform Pilates Studio, Saratoga Springs, teaching Ramona's Pilates, providing a fully equipped studio with Gratz apparatus, private and small group classes, reformyourbody.com. The Blue Rock Restaurant, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Chef Chris Ramirez creating new American cuisine and handcrafted desserts. Wine and beer from local to worldwide. Live Jazz Fridays, thebluerockrestaurant.com. And Utica College offering a Master of Science degree in Healthcare Administration online, utica.edu.
And we are back with the Vox Pop. All the phones are ringing. Patrick Donjus, our social media ambassador, is here with some ideas.
Yes. Hi, Alan. So we've got some emails held over from the roundtable this morning because a similar discussion was taking place, and I will summarize those. George via email says, if you consult these experts, you will find it scientifically proven that the path to healing from the worst kinds of victimization is through love and forgiveness, not hate and revenge. People who love and forgive have more fulfilling lives than those who let anger drive them. Robert via email says, instead of grasping for meaning, we need to talk about value. When a man commits murder, he has shown that his thoughts and actions have no value to society. Jail for life or end his life, but for goodness sake, live your own good and moral lives. Stop trying to get anything from these men and their ideals. Scott wrote in at voxpop@wamc.org and said it would be appealing to put him to death. Maybe we should have a public beheading. However, that would make us no better than the many savage terrorists we are fighting. We should take the high road and differentiate ourselves from the terrorists. And Jason on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC radio says, by the way you frame the question, it sounds as though you should equate the death penalty and torture, at least for practical purposes, both morally and in terms of enacted U.S. domestic and foreign policy, since I unquestioningly support the practicality, the practically irrevocable rulings of state Supreme Courts and the decrees of executive orders. This one sure is a toughie. For my own part, I'll say no to state-sanctioned life-taking, no to extraction, rendition, torture, and secret prisons. Are they good preventative measures or effective salves? Possibly not.
Patrick Donjus, as always, we thank you for all
thank
your hard
Al.
Work, and I mean hard work.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to Stuart in Newburgh, 1-800-348-2551, but don't try it now. All the phones are loaded. Go ahead, Stuart.
Hi, Alan. Great subject. I think the death penalty really doesn't solve our problems, and I think it reduces our moral authority. Our goal should really be to protect society, not to inflict retribution. You know, we shouldn't feel like that we're made whole by beating down the person who does such a terrible thing.
Stuart, why do you think there's a clear majority in this country for the death penalty?
I think because it feels good to inflict pain on somebody mm-hmm. who's done a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other points?
Yeah, I think it is cruel, I think it is unusual, and I think it is not fair nor racially neutral. And I think because it's not perfect and it's not irreversible, that we need to really look into it. And if we take an extreme case like this, mm-hmm. and this is, of course, the most extreme case,
sure.
where somebody commits a mass murder or even the situation that you describe, which might even be worse, right?
Sure.
I think we can't make any public policy based on those extreme cases.
What if he admits it?
I don't think it matters. I think we reduce our own moral quality. Look, I'm a teacher for all my life, and I guess you have been as well. And if you see two kids fighting, do you go beat them both up to teach them a lesson, or do you intervene with your words? Do you take the high road and stop their fighting with your words and show them by your own right example that they can solve their problems in a better way.
I get it. Stuart, thank you for the call. Appreciate
thank
it very
you.
Much. Yeah. All right, let's go to Kerry in Plainfield, Massachusetts. Now there's one free phone. Go ahead, Kerry.
Hello, Alan. How you doing?
Hey, sure.
Okay, personally, I have no problem imposing the death penalty, you know, if we're 100% sure that that person is responsible for the crime.
Yeah.
And 99 and 9/10 percent quite doesn't make it for me. And the only way that can happen, I believe, is if you've heard of the smoking gun theory where the person is caught at the scene, the initial scene, and there's no question that he did it. I feel that like the Gabby Gifford shooting in Tucson.
How about this one?
What's that?
I mean, do you believe that the suspect is guilty?
Well, he was arrested 4 days later on circumstantial evidence. I believe he's guilty, but I don't think that.
So you got that extra percent.
That 0.1%, there's going to be some doubt in somebody's mind. It's not 100%.
Okay.
And that's how I feel. Should he spend all the rest of his life incarcerated? Yeah, I believe he should. Mm-hmm. But the death penalty, there's been the Rosenthals, there's been Bruno Hoffman. There's always been questions whether they were wrongly executed. And I think if he was caught on the scene with a gun in his hand, or in this case a bomb or something, okay, you got him. But there's going to always be some kind of doubt in someone's mind.
Yeah. Okay, Kerry, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Let's go to Bruce in Ulster. Okay, Bruce, go.
Good afternoon. I have a number of points to make. First of all, I am not in favor of the death penalty in this particular case without going into general, because I think that if he is incarcerated for the rest of his life, he's in prison, that's going to be a lot more punishment than eliminating him very quickly. But a second reason is that I think there is a possibility of real redemptive change here. And if there is, then maybe an arrangement can be made where he could post things on the internet and try to talk would-be terrorists out of it, because so many are influenced by it. But in addition, since his brother is already dead and may have been the main organizer and mover, as it seems to be, I'm very interested in knowing what they had in mind when they murdered this policeman in his car, and when they had all these other explosives that they were throwing and hijacking the car. What else were they going to do? I think there's a lot of information that still needs to come out. And torture, he won't get it. Whether you can get it by torture or not, I think there's a great chance, a greater chance, to get it by establishing a real communication and rapport with him. And also, the rest of the world is going to be watching all this. Everybody's all over the world is going to be watching. This is a chance to show a system of justice, although revenge is one of the most powerful human emotions, and everybody wants vengeance when something like this is done, not only for the dead, but for the fact that people lost their limbs. It was, in a sense, I consider it fortunate that they weren't really sophisticated bombers, because it would have been a lot more mayhem. So those are my points.
Well, they're good points. I thank you very much for making them. Appreciate it a lot. Okay. Let's go to Assad in Poughkeepsie. Okay, Assad, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How you doing? Good afternoon. So essentially, I do understand where the woman was coming from, saying that she's only 19, and we know that people develop fully their brains around 25 or so.
Sure.
But they did execute this act, if they are indeed guilty. And I think from an empathetic point of view, if you send this young man to prison for the rest of his life, one, he's going to be absolutely assaulted continuously by all the other inmates and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know how they treat pedophiles in prison?
Sure.
It becomes a social structure, essentially, in the same way. And solitary confinement is torture, too. So if I was in his place, I'd go for the death penalty for myself. Honestly, what's the point of living at this point for him?
Well, if you were in his place, but of course you're not in his place.
No, I'm not. Right. No, I'm not. Yeah. And I'm happy to not be in his place.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. Yeah, right. Right.
Okay, that was my only real point, Doc.
That's it. Well, Assad, I thank you. So, in fact, you're for the death penalty.
Yes, I am in this case.
Okay,
yes.
Assad, thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it very much. Thanks, we want to hear every voice here. Okay, let's go to Chris in Albany. Chris, you're on.
Hi. I am for the death penalty. However, the application of it in America is, I mean, it's heinous the way it's applied. Obviously, racial groups, socioeconomic factors, you know, public defense attorneys as opposed to having a legal team. So for that reason, I am generally opposed to the way that it's applied. But as a concept, I'm very much in favor. I think a good example is the New York State SAFE Act. Governor Cuomo points out the shooting in Webster, New York, by the gentleman that was released by New York State after murdering his grandmother. He then goes on 10 years later, 12 years later, to acquire firearms and shoot firefighters and police. And the point is, if we had put this guy to death for murdering his grandmother, society wouldn't have to deal with this problem. And it's not as though this guy was benefiting society in the first place because he was constantly a threat, whether we knew it or not. So Connecticut's talking about retroactively, potentially, banning the death penalty now. And the case that they have is, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was part of a murder-for-hire plot where they were being paid by a broken snowmobile to go to a person's house and kill him. And his only defense is he wasn't the trigger man. And it just doesn't fly with me. If I'm a clerk at a store and I get killed, I want to know that that person that killed me will die. There is no benefit to society or to the victim's families to release someone 15, 20 years down the line. It says the wrong thing. And to the previous caller who talked about 19 years old being a kid, I mean, at 19, a lot of people are on their own. You know, they're growing up. They're living productive lives. They're not building bombs and blowing people's legs off for no reason at all. So I think the death penalty has to be that final step that you make in certain cases. And I think murder certainly reaches that level. The Louisiana Supreme Court okayed the death of a man that had raped three women. U.S. Supreme Court then said, no, there has to be a homicide to execute someone. I understand where they're coming from. But at the same level, I think that generally people see homicide as reaching that level. And it just confuses me when you have a case like this. We're talking about the 19-year-old like he matters. He is the scumbag who blew people's legs off, shot cops, went on a high-speed pursuit, robbed a 7-Eleven, hijacked a guy's car. I mean, what level do we have to reach where we finally say we're not going to tolerate this sort of behavior anymore? And it just concerns me to hear these people talking this way.
Articulate, Chris, and I thank you for making the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Tara in Bloomington. Okay, Tara, you're against, and what do you have to say?
Okay, I had my own points, and then from listening to the callers, I just have a couple of points to make, and I know we don't have a lot of time.
No, that's fine.
Just to comment, normal 19-year-olds do not go around blowing off limbs for no reason at all unless they're in the military. You know, so it happens every day to millions of people. So. I am against the death penalty, and we can look at the reasons, and we can, will it make sense to us? Now they're looking into the older brother just to find the reasons. Perhaps he had a brain injury from being the boxer that actually pushed him into, you know, that, whatever. I'm against the death penalty, and I would like to point out a great campaign from Human Rights that are putting out the last meals of death row inmates that have been proved innocent years later, and it just goes on to show their picture on their last meal, and they didn't do anything. So, you know, until we fix the system of our execution, no one should be executed anymore.
Okay, Tara, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to Amy in Enfield, Connecticut. Amy, you're on.
Hi. Good to be with you, Alan.
Sure. Great to have you.
I am against the death penalty, and I had these interesting conversations with folks who brought up something that was so bizarre, which was financial. And they said, well, you know, I don't think that the public should have to pay for him to be in jail for the rest of his life. And I was like, well, I don't know. Money is just money. But how you live and how you set an example for your children, and when you say to your kids, you know, if somebody hurts you, you need to tell them, that hurt me. You don't hit them back. You need to learn a different way. We can't talk out of both sides of our mouth, and we can't make it always boil down to money. So that's one thing. Like, I thought this person was very committed to this concept that the public should not have to spend any money on this person. And by the way,
Amy, just to support you a little bit here, it obviously costs more to execute somebody than to keep them in jail. It costs millions of dollars the way we do it in the United States. But go ahead.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I really feel like it has to do with the powerlessness, and there's a collective sense of powerlessness that people have after these kinds of events. And then it's this false way of feeling in control. And the truth of the matter at the end of the day is we're not in control of when we're going to die and how we're going to die. And I'm not saying I think it's okay for criminals to do these things or for people to act in this way or to kill people. But I'm just saying it's the concept that if you kill somebody, it's going to put you back in control. It really doesn't, because now you've done the same thing that you didn't like.
Amy, I want to ask you something. Do you have children?
I do.
And if anybody ever did to your kids what was done here, you would feel which way?
I would feel that there's no. I would never support the death penalty. I'm religiously opposed to it. I do not. I just cannot understand. To me, I do not think that I would be sitting there going, if I kill this person, it's going to make me feel so much better.
Okay, Amy, that solves it. We've got five people behind you, and we really appreciate your call. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Let's go to Margaret in Kingston. Okay, Margaret, you're on.
Thanks. A lot of thought-provoking comments made. I wanted to make two comments. I'm against the death penalty, and I also think that this is just demonstrates an opportunity to get to understand better that whole Islam and try to make a bridge to imams in the area and all that, so that maybe something could have been spearheaded and noticed and recognized. But I think there's such a wall built between our culture and that culture that there's no back and forth, so that maybe they don't feel that they can come to, you know, the other side and say, we're a little concerned about this guy, even on a, you know, social level, not necessarily a law level, but, you know, that kind of thing. And I do believe, just going back on another comment about the woman from coming in Texas, I think that the fertilizer plant was there before they built the little town up, what I heard.
Yeah, but nevertheless, her point was, and I think it was a good point,
that
they had basically been warned by the authorities that it was dangerous, and they didn't do what they had to do. And I think that's very important. And then, you know, look, there's no question you can analyze any of this stuff on a primary level, a secondary level, a tertiary level, and say, okay, you know, is it capitalism that drives the wagon? Is it? I'm just simply saying one can say, all right, this guy took my arm, I'm going to take his arm. Or you can say, what leads to the whole social fabric, the whole political fabric? And I think that that's what the point she was trying to make.
Yeah.
Hey, Margaret.
Exactly. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Okay.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Jeff in Gardner. Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to speak against the death penalty and also against revenge and against torture.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yes, I'm in my 64th year.
You're in your 64th year?
Yes.
You fooled me. Okay, go ahead. You sound much younger.
My sentiments are quite close to Amy's, I suppose. It's
sure.
Just that I feel like we'd be missing a big opportunity with this death penalty. It's kind of like saying, if you look at the structure of it, it's kind of like saying, under these circumstances, we can kill you, and it would be okay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what the boys were doing, too. They were saying, you know, under these circumstances, we could kill you, it would be okay. I mean,
in other words, we could kill you because
against the death penalty would be the one way that you could actually, you know, not take a similar stand to them.
Uh-huh.
But the thing about the torture is, it was the last serious thing that my father said to me, was that we shouldn't be doing this kind of torture stuff. As a bomber pilot in World War II, his plane had been shot down, and he was held by the Germans for a while before being freed. And
was he tortured?
We shouldn't be torturing people. So
well, Jeff,
I guess I don't need to have an opinion. I'm just going to use his opinion.
Jeff, will you hold for a question? Did he get tortured?
He was in a hospital in Reims because he was badly burned.
I see.
And, you know, we could never really get them to talk too much about what he underwent. I was told the Germans treated the pilots pretty well, and it's amazing that the hospital he was held in Reims, France, has a plaque on it that was donated by the people of Detroit, Michigan. Because after World War I, there were so many injured people that were staying over there that the citizens of Detroit, Michigan, sent enough money to build this hospital in Reims, France.
So let me ask you a question. Would you have either tortured or put to death Adolf Eichmann and Adolf Hitler if you had had the decision at that time?
It's very difficult to imagine, but I would say that my understanding of torture is that you don't get good, worthwhile information.
Okay, let's take torture off the paper, you know, the blitz now. What would you have put to death Eichmann or Hitler had you been on a jury or a judge?
It just reminds me too much of what the Chinese say about revenge.
Uh-huh.
The Chinese say that revenge is like a vessel with a hole in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It carries only the promise of emptiness.
Okay,
and
Jeff,
I don't want to be that vessel, that broken vessel that only carries the promise of emptiness. I want to have a more positive outlook.
Okay, Jeff, thank you for the call. We have a lot of people behind you. I want to try to get everybody in. Thanks again.
Thanks very much.
Bye. We'll take a short, and I mean short, Zachary, recess here, and then we'll be back for Genevieve and Dick and Caroline and Eli and whoever else is calling.
Support for WAMC comes from Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting Sundays with Friends with Karen Gomeo, violin, and Dina Weinstein, piano, Sunday, May 5th, bethelwoodscenter.org. Foresight Land Services, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, for 45 years offering civil engineering, land surveying, land planning, and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York. ForesightLand.com. The Honest Wait Food Co-op in Albany, offering local and organic produce, natural groceries, artisan cheeses, and more. HonestWait.coop. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women-owned and operated with a combined 70 years experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. And SUNY IT, offering a nursing option for high school graduates to earn 2 nursing degrees in 4 years. SUNYIT.edu.
And we are back, thanks to the magic of Zachary the engineer. And with us is, of course, the great Patrick Donjus. Patrick, you're going to be quick about this.
Okay, I'll do my best here,
okay,
Alan.
Right.
Ginny on Facebook says, no to the death penalty. I oppose it on moral grounds. What part of thou shalt not kill is unclear. But others might be swayed more by the fiscal argument. It costs less to keep an inmate in jail for life than it does to issue a death penalty, since the death penalty will give rise to endless years of court costs and appeals. And Narcissa, via email at voxpop@wamc.org, says, I'm not philosophically opposed to the death penalty in circumstances in which the individual has shown gross indifference to the right of life of others. There is a point of depravity in which, enacting it, you forfeit society's consideration of your life, but you never forfeit your right to a fair trial. With that in mind, and considering the current inadequacies and often rank incompetence, we must keep a moratorium upon it until these issues are fixed. So if there is a moratorium, it must apply to this young man as well. However, do we truly believe that a sane 19-year-olds are incapable of understanding that putting an explosive next to an 8-year-old boy is both immoral or illegal, or an understanding it can still not refrain from doing this? And then on a final note, why is it that few 19-year-old women are so prone to violence? Our brains don't mature any earlier, she says.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, Patrick, you did a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, again, folks, I want to tell you what I do here and why I do it. I try to move fast so that everybody gets in on this whole thing. Please, make your point, and then that's it, okay? Let's go to Genevieve in Albany. Go ahead, Genevieve.
Hi. I just wanted to bring up the point about brain development because I missed the first part, but I hope it hasn't been said yet. But in 2005, the Supreme Court outlawed the death penalty for crimes committed before age 18, even if there were heinous crimes. And that is because brain research suggests that the adolescent brain well into the early 20s is underdeveloped when it comes to a sense of responsibility, lack of maturity, and is more susceptible to negative influences and outside pressures.
And I think that you need to consider that. And I'm sure that's something that his lawyer will definitely consider when this case does go to trial.
Genevieve, I thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Dick in Wineskill. Okay, Dick, you're on.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, Alan.
Sure. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
Good.
I'm ready for the next fun drive.
Cool.
I may even check the locks box out.
Uh-oh.
Put some schmear in it. Anyway, the death penalty is not a deterrent. I mean, if somebody wants to do something, they'll do something, whether you say you're going to. And we don't have a correction system in this country. We have an incarceration system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a compounding pharmacy, or the woman in Massachusetts who did all those invalid tests.
Yeah, sure.
Prove, you know, you never know whether you got the real stuff. As I said, this is my last point. You can... it costs less to go to Penn State than the state pen.
Dick, that's very good. I want to say funny, but I don't think any of this is funny. So, Dick, I appreciate your call very much. And
okay,
again,
thanks.
We'll see you at the fun drive. Thanks, Bob.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Okay, Lisa, you're on. Hi, Lisa.
Yes, hi, Alan. Can you hear me?
Sure.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right.
I can hear you.
Now go ahead.
Just had a question about, well, first of all, I am for the death penalty on certain cases.
Is this one of them?
You know, I'm a little torn with this one, only because of the age of the person and the circumstances. But I wanted to call because... I wanted to find out, you know, where is the accountability of the FBI agents who interview the older brother? Obviously, you know, they had been following him since 2011, and they never came up with any sort of incriminating information. And I found that really hard to believe that after 2 years of following this individual, they didn't find any evidence that he... was involved in a terrorist group.
Well, I mean, to be fair to the FBI agents, you know, you can go just so far. You can do an interview, and if somebody's either psychopath or, you know, a born liar, they can tell you stuff, and you can't find... I mean, how can you assure that they're going to find out anything?
Yes, but, you know, they knew that he went back to Russia, spent 6 months over there, and they, you know, there's... Obviously, they were alerted by the agencies in Russia.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just think that it was.
Well, what are you suggesting, Lisa? Very quickly, what are you suggesting? Are you suggesting this is all some kind of setup or plot or, you know, fomented by the FBI? I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but what are you getting at?
No, I just think that, you know, more should be investigated on the part of the FBI or the FBI agents that interview this individual to try to find out more information.
I'm sure there will. Lisa, I'm sure there will be. I appreciate your call very much, Lisa, and for introducing this whole subject. I appreciate it a lot. Bye. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Carolyn in Sharon, Connecticut. Carolyn.
Hello, Alan. I'm against the death penalty,
okay.
And I'm against torture. I'm reminded of the old saying that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth will leave us all toothless and blind. And also, I want to say that few Americans may realize that 9/11 happened because we were insensitive to the fact that it's criminal to a very conservative Muslims to have infidel, that is anybody else, near their holy places in like Mecca and Medina.
Well, you're surely not suggesting it was okay, are you?
What? No, sure, I'm not saying it's okay, but it explains that was bin Laden's main gripe with us, and I think we have to look to why people... You know, after 9/11, they said, why do people hate us?
Well, wait a second. How do you know what his main gripe was?
people have said that why he was furious with us and wanted to get even with America was because of infidel near the holy places, and the first President Bush put American troops into Saudi Arabia. But like a lot of Americans, I am very unhappy about the drones. It's a kind of antiseptic way to kill where you keep your hands fairly clean of the actual act. And yet, how much collateral damage have we done? I just ache for this, all the people who died, but this beautiful little 8-year-old boy with his peace sign last year saying, no more hurting people. But how many 8-year-old boys have we killed in Yemen or in Pakistan, and we just call it collateral damage because of the drone program?
Okay, Carolyn, that is the second time. I appreciate it. I appreciate your point, and I thank you for calling and introducing yet another subject to us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Let's go to Eli in Utica. Okay, Eli, you're on.
Hi, Ellen. I'd like to discuss torture, but I am against the death penalty simply because our judicial system is not competent enough. It doesn't work. We recently, in our little community of Utica, had two convicted murderers released from prison. After it was found that they were totally innocent of the crimes. They were convicted by a jury of their peers. Our police insisted they were guilty. Our district attorney's office said they were guilty. In fact, most of our journalists said they were guilty, and almost everyone in our communities were positive they were guilty. They were innocent as the driven snow. Thankfully, we don't have the death penalty in New York because these two men would be pushing up daisies right now.
Okay.
It's incontrovertible. We cannot do it. We just don't have a competent enough judicial system.
Okay.
Okay,
Eli, thanks a lot.
Okay, how about a little comment on torture?
Make it fast. Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Ball is an ignoramus. If he were an intelligent man, he would learn something about...
Just remind everybody what Mr. Ball said. Senator Ball.
Well, he's proposing that we torture people, that we torture this young man, and that we torture anyone who thinks we might be able to give information concerning future terrorist crimes.
So what did you call him?
Yeah, I said he's an ignoramus because he doesn't understand that torture doesn't work. If he would educate himself, I would suggest he read a book written by Ali Soufan, who was the FBI's main investigator after the 9/11 massacre. He wrote a book explaining that the methods used by the CIA under the aegis of Dick Cheney were counterproductive, that they totally harmed all our effort to gather information.
Okay, put a period there, Eli. There are five people behind
you. Okay, go ahead,
Alan. I appreciate it a lot.
That's good enough. Okay. Let them speak.
Yeah, thanks again. Let's go to Jamie in Amherst. Okay, Jamie, you're on.
Yes, hello.
Hello, thanks for calling from Amherst. Always very important to us.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I said thanks for calling from Amherst. Always very important to us. Go ahead.
Okay, three areas of response. The first one is, yes, I am opposed to the death penalty for a whole laundry list of reasons.
Right.
I'm sure you and our listeners know what they are. The second is, I would like to excuse the pun, the callers who have mentioned brain research, because, in fact, executive function, planning, good judgment are all things that develop in the frontal lobes when they're about finished growing when you're 25 or 26 years old. And finally, I do know a couple of acquaintances of this young man, and I can really envision him going through major change. And maybe let's throw out a scenario. Maybe he becomes a literacy teacher in a prison and helps reduce recidivism.
But what about the dead people?
Oh, that's awful. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
I would never say to you, Jamie, oh, what you just said is awful. I'm just asking you what I consider to be a provocative question. So you can hold off the awfuls, okay?
I'm sorry, once again?
I said you can hold off the awfuls because that's not what this is about. We're talking, we are trying to come to some kind of conclusion here. So what about the dead kids?
I've lost people. I know what it's like. And as I said, I wouldn't know where to begin.
Okay. Jamie, I want to thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go to Nathan in Columbia County. Nathan, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
Just a twist on the concept of the death penalty. Basically, I am in favor of it, only as a sort of on a broad philosophical basis and an evolutionary basis, that as animals and as society, you know, decides that they have to alleviate problems within the society. But once society has decided, and it's, you know, known that beyond a shadow of a doubt this person is guilty, in the case of the Aurora shooter, where there's obvious many witnesses, there's no doubt that this was the man that did it, you know, and where there's absolutely categorically no doubt that this was the man that did it, I think that society makes the decision and then gives it to the aggrieved people. If this is really what we know death penalty is about revenge and retribution. You keep asking the question, well, what if it was your children? If it was my children, once the decision was made and you said to me, are you willing to undertake the action of executing the death penalty on this person, I would say, absolutely. Me. Because I am the grieved personality.
Well, what about, what about the state?
Oh, no, the state in its body makes the decision,
right,
that the death penalty is appropriate. But then it comes back to personal responsibility. If the aggrieved person or family or so on and so forth, because it really is, as we know, it's not about preventing, you know.
Okay, but very quickly, what do you think? I mean, you're for the death penalty, theoretically, and you have reservations about it.
No, I actually don't have reservations. I have reservations of the way that it is practiced, but I don't have reservations about the concept of that there is evil in the world. There are people that, whether... You know, and yes, this is also gets into mental problems and stuff,
sure,
like that. But once all that is aside,
yep,
if you just said it's a clear-cut case, the guy was sane, you know, he made a conscious choice to kill people. He killed my child.
Yep.
The society judges him guilty of that.
And the President of the United States calls for justice.
And everybody calls for justice. That's fine. But the society should not be. I am the aggrieved part. You killed my child.
Yeah.
Okay. I personally have no problem saying, fine, turn it over to me in public.
Okay. Now you.
And I will kill that.
Bill.
Person.
Bill, you've said it. You've said it a couple of times. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the call. Thanks for making the point. Okay. Let's go to. Let's hear. Okay. Ellen via email says, if we give this young man the death penalty, he becomes a martyr in the eyes of the community. But a life in solitary confinement is something to think about. People should also consider the fact that these young men could have been part of a cell. I cannot imagine they did all of this on their own. We should be looking for others. Andrea via email says, if the bomber's executed, he becomes a martyr. If he's incarcerated, he is a failure for his cause. An anonymous via email says, my biggest concern is to prosecute this case by book to avoid mistrial and years of appeal. Right-wingers need to stop trying to derail the case with their extremist positions, torture, etc. I am indifferent to the use of the death penalty here. We'll go to Ellen in Kingston. Ellen in Kingston, you're on, and you got to make it real fast.
Okay, I don't want to see him become a martyr because, for him, this was an act of jihad.
So
if we kill him, he's a martyr.
I see.
And I think, you know, Osama bin Laden had said at one point he didn't want America to have another peaceful day after 9/11. So we ought to think, was this boy part of a sleeper cell?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these two kids did this all by themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Let's go to Greg in Altamont. Greg, you got to make it one sentence. Go ahead.
Okay, I signed a document in 1997 that says, in part, I request that the person or persons found guilty for my killing not be subject to or put in jeopardy of the death penalty under any circumstances,
okay, what's
no matter
behind
how heinous their crime or how much I have suffered.
And what's behind it?
It's called the Declaration of Life.
No, I understand that. But what is your philosophical reason for that?
We've never solved anything by killing anybody.
Okay, Greg, that's you. Let's go to Beth in Schenectady. Beth, very quickly.
Number one, Alan.
Not number one. It's got to be right away.
All right. Your parents can't be on your jury if you're killed. So
right.
Point is, we know that.
Okay.
So the other thing is, we took in how many Nazis after World War II? How many have been floating around in fence?
Sure.
Okay.
True. Okay, right, Beth, thank you. All right, let's go to Bill in Richmond. Bill, I'm so sorry. We're out of time. We can't take any more. So, Bill and Paul and Rick, next time for you guys. Thank you, everybody, for calling in today. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Cafe. Oh, no, that's wrong. I read that already. I'm so flabudget here. Whoa! The Ashfield Stones, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. Cafe Capriccio, offering Tuscan Italian cuisine since 1982 with holiday travel tours to Tuscany, including organic vineyards in Chianti. Locations in Albany and Saratoga. Cafe Capriccio. Unison Art Center, New Paltz, presenting Kim and Reggie Harrison songs from African American history, from spiritual gospels and American folk songs, Saturday, April 27th at 8 p.m. UnisonArts.org and Wewaka Lake George, New York, an enrichment and revitalization historic lakefront retreat created by and for women since 1903. Wewaka.org for events. Thank you to Zach and to Bruce and to Patrick Donges. Now we are done.